Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Coleman.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast. So glad you could join me for episode 290, and I gotta say, I'm gonna go out on a limb and tell you that this is gonna be a great episode. I've got some cool tunes to play ya. I've watched a lot of stuff on TV that I'm gonna tell you about. I will hopefully have an update on the new Galactic Cowboys album. And as always, I'm going to answer your emails and questions. But first, I wanted to tell you about something that I actually talked about on the last episode. I mentioned that I was going to try and make t-shirts out of a lot of my art designs. I just had to figure out a way to do it. And so I started investigating some of these print-on-demand websites. And I found one and I signed up. And I started trying to upload my designs. And let me tell you, there's just a whole lot that goes into it. They've all got to be a certain pixel size and format. And I spent days trying to figure it all out and get everything uploaded. And then they have to approve you and whatever you uploaded. And after about a week, I found out that they rejected every single thing I put on there. And that would lead me into a question that I got on Facebook Messenger from David Hoskins. And he said, "Hey Monty, question, have you ever had any issues painting a celebrity's image without their permission? I can't imagine you get consent from all these people." Well, no, I've never gotten consent. That would probably be impossible. Nor have I ever worried about it in the slightest. If you ever Google celebrity paintings or rock star paintings, there are just tons of artists out there doing the same thing. I like to feel like all mine are just paintings and they are expressions of who the person is. But I've never had a rock star or celebrity ever complain. In fact, any rock star who has ever seen what I've done really likes it. Most of them are really flattered, and in fact, the other day, I put one up on Facebook of a new Billy Sheehan painting I did, and Billy himself commented, "Wow, thank you so much." So most celebrities and rock stars aren't going to care. And so I just moved on and found another website that had no problem with what I post. They're called tpublic.com. It's spelled T-E-E-P-U-B-L-I-C, T-Public, and Alex and I have both bought stuff off there in the past. She got me an Ace Frehley shirt, and I think she got herself like a Blondie shirt, and so they've been around for a while, they're legit, and here's how it works. I make the t-shirt designs and then put them into my store on there. And the name of my store is Monty Colvin Art Designs. And so far, I got about 30 or 40 shirts on there. And all you do is you click on the design or the shirt you want, and you can pick any color. And they have all sizes, all styles of shirts. And they also have hoodies and kids' shirts, or if you want it on a coffee mug, get yourself a Monty Colvin painting on, you know, a tote bag. And then all you do is order it, and they manufacture it, and they mail it to you. And that's the good thing, is that I don't have to do hardly anything except supply the image. Now, the drawbacks are, A, I don't make much money from this, and B, there's this company called Bravado International Group, and every now and then, they'll make TeePublic take one of my shirts down.
Evil people.
For instance, they just took down my David Bowie design. And even though David Bowie is no longer with us, apparently this company feels like they're the only ones who can make any money on his image. But whatever, I'm going to keep putting stuff up there. And I'm going to give it a while to see how this works out. And hopefully I'll get some exposure some way that will lead to something else. But I'm giving it a try, and for the time being, if you want some really cool shirts of mine, go to tpublic.com. And even Alex and I have bought some of my shirts so far, and they look really good. And if you need the link to my store, I'll be posting it on my Facebook page. Or you can just message me or email me and I'll send it to you.
I am not capable.
All right, let's get to some listener emails. And I've got one here from Norm in Canada. And Norm had two things for me. The first one being he wanted to know if he could commission me to do a family portrait. And I am always willing to talk to anybody about that kind of thing. And Norm sent me some pictures and we worked it all out, and I'm working on that painting right now. And if anybody out there right now listening wants to commission me to do their family or their pets or whatever, drop me a line. But the other thing that Norm wrote to tell me is that he really loved my review of the top 100 comedy movies on a couple episodes back. And it got him to thinking about a list of his own, and he came up with his top retirement bands. And what that means is it's a list of bands that he plans on listening to when he retires. And apparently these are bands that he just never took the time to sit down and listen to before. And so, all right, let's get into it. Starting with number 10 with Blind Guardian. And I really can't blame you there, Norm. I know who Blind Guardian is, but I've never really listened to him that much. At number 9, Norm has never really listened to that much Dio other than the first two albums. You know, it's kind of weird because I love Ronnie James Dio. He's got an awesome voice, and I loved him when he was with Rainbow. But it's not like I've got a bunch of Dio albums and listen to them all the time. So I probably need to catch up with some of that too. At number 8, Norm says he loved the 80s Scorpions, but he's never gotten into 70s Scorpions. Okay, well, what I can tell you about that, Norm, is I think you're in for a nice surprise. When I was in college back in the early 80s, I had the Love Drive album, and I loved it. And from there, I decided to go back and check out some of their earlier stuff. And I went and bought this double live album called the Tokyo Tapes. And it was when they had Uli Roth on guitar, and that album rocks. In fact, why don't I play you a little taste from that right now? Continuing on with Norm's list, at number 7, Norm said he never listened to a lot of Sweet. And oh my God, what an incredible band they were. They were great players, they were very creative, and even their hit songs were great. I mean, Love Is Like Oxygen, Ballroom Blitz, what else? I mean, Fox on the Run. Yeah, they were awesome. And speaking of another awesome band, at number 6, Steely Dan. I probably never talked enough about them, but, you know, Asia is a masterpiece. And while you're at it, go back and listen to albums like The Royal Scam. That is amazing. At number 5, Norm said he never really listened to Pantera. And yeah, that was some great stuff. My personal favorite album by Pantera was Cowboys from Hell. But that would lead me into number 4, Cheap Trick. And let me tell you, Norm, you've missed out on a lot of great stuff, and you're in for a real treat. Not a trick-or-treat, but a cheap trick treat.
You're way smarter than I thought.
Number three is Norm says he's never really listened to The Who. Well, they're one of the bands I started listening to in high school, and they are kind of the foundation to everything that I became as a musician. How to write, how to perform, how to be creative. And besides checking out albums like Tommy, Quadrophenia, and Who's Next, I would also suggest go back and watch some of that old footage. Because live, they were absolutely mesmerizing. Now, at number two, Norm has one of the greatest bands of all time, Thin Lizzy. And if for some reason the only thing you've heard from Thin Lizzy is Jailbreak or The Boys Are Back in Town on the radio, a whole huge catalog of great songs awaits you. And what I would recommend is that you just start with Live and Dangerous. It was a double live album that was great from beginning to end. And after you've chewed on that for a while, go back through all of their albums. There's Johnny the Fox, Bad Reputation, Black Rose, Chinatown, and then you've got the stuff with John Sykes, Thunder and Lightning. In fact, I may have to go back and listen to all that stuff myself. But at number one, Norm says, and this is kind of surprising, he has never listened to The Beatles.
Wow!
Norm says, that's right, I've never listened to The Beatles. Well, other than the songs on the radio, which seems to be most of them. Well, I guess that's understandable. Yeah, it's kind of like me with Zeppelin. There's really no need for me to own a Zeppelin album anymore because I hear them every day on the radio, whether I want to or not. But for me, if I was stranded on a desert island with nothing but Beatles albums, I don't think I'd ever get bored. Because there was just so much variety, so much experimentation, and almost all of it still holds up today. But Norm added this to his email. He said, happily, I don't have Galactic Cowboys on my retirement list. I got into you guys right from the start and with no regrets. And Norm ends by saying, I'd love to hear if you have any retirement bands for a list. Well, let's see. You know, the problem with me is that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to retire. I'm kind of semi-retired now because I get Social Security, but it's certainly not enough to live on. So I still get up at 5:30 every day and start working. And I'll probably have to keep doing this kind of thing forever. And really, what else am I going to do? Sit around and watch soap operas all day? So basically, the word retirement to me means that I don't have to paint houses or work in a factory anymore. But I know what you're asking, Norm, and so let me try and think of some bands that I've never listened to before that maybe I should. And the first one I thought of this morning was Pussifer. It's a side project of Maynard from Tool. And it's really out there, and I've just never taken the time to kind of check it out. But I saw an interview the other day with Maynard and Rick Beato, and they played a few clips that actually sounded really interesting. So maybe I'll check out some Pussifer, or perhaps go back and listen to some hair metal, or possibly some grunge. Because back in the 80s and 90s, I was listening to thrash. And stuff like Cinderella, I was like, nah. But who knows, maybe there was some good stuff that I missed. I kind of doubt it, but you never know. And I'm sure some of you guys out there would suggest that I listen to some Dream Theater or King's X. Because honestly, I haven't listened to either one of those bands since I toured with them back in the 90s.
Oh!
Let's see, what else? Maybe some country music? I've really never listened to country before, so maybe there's something out there that might interest me. I don't know. But the thing is that I've just listened to so much over the years. I don't feel like there's very much that I missed out on that I should have been listening to. For example, back in the 80s, I was listening to, yes, Metallica, Megadeth, but I also liked Talk Talk and The Fix and Howard Jones and The Replacements and The Ramones, and I was just all over the place. And that's why I could play in a wimpy Christian band like Morgan Cryer, but at the same time be making plans to one day form my own speed metal band. So I was very open-minded, and I suppose I still am to a certain degree. It doesn't mean I like everything I hear, but I will still give almost everything a chance or at least a listen. And recently I got a couple of suggestions from you guys. And the first one is from Michael Mattson, Texas, and he sent me a video to a band whose name is almost impossible to pronounce. And a lot of you have probably heard this or seen them because they're all over the internet now, mainly because they wear these really weird costumes and they play this really, really weird instrumental music. And their name is Engine du Poivrine or something like that, I don't know. Anyway, I watched the video, or as much as I could, and well, here's kind of what it sounds like. So there's two guys in this band, and one of them plays drums, and the other plays guitar and sometimes bass. And like I said, they wear these weird costumes that look like they could be on a kid's show or something, and I'm not even real sure how they see to know what they're playing, but they somehow pull off this extremely complicated math rock. And to that I say good for you, I respect the talent. And I will also give them credit for getting people's attention and causing kind of a stir. But do I like it? No. And will I want to listen to it again? No. However, on the other hand, it does make me appreciate bands like Primus. Because compared to this form of obnoxiousness, Primus is actually tolerable.
Hey, that is uncalled for.
Next, I got a message on Facebook from Jamie Roller. And I'll say this again, if my name was Jamie Roller, I would change my middle name to Rockin'. I would have to. But Jamie wrote to say, hey Monty, you know how it's your job to tell us what to like? Well, your fellow bassman Keanu Reeves' band Dogstar just released a great new track with killer bass tone. Is it, and should we like it? Okay. Is it a killer bass tone, and should you like it? Well, let's give it a listen. Okay, well, I would say not a killer bass tone, but I actually kind of like it. It's good.
Yeah.
right, kind of nice, pretty basic, something I would enjoy playing. But I'll have to say that the singer and the drummer are two of the luckiest people on earth. Because if Keanu Reeves wasn't the bass player, I don't think anyone would pay any attention to this. But he is the bass player, so they can have a nice career. But so far, it's not really blowing my mind. I would say the chorus is okay. I'm not a huge fan of the singer, but at least this song is short. Okay, I actually kind of like the end of the song, and while the riff is nothing special, it kind of rocks. So I'll give that maybe 2.5 to 3 Bloody Metal skulls. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. And I don't blame Keanu Reeves. He laid down a nice bass line, and he gets to go out in his spare time and do something that he really wants to do. And I would do the same thing. Let's say I was a big rock star and I wanted to go out and do movies. I would love that. In fact, if somebody right now wanted to hire me to play a white dumb guy in a commercial, I would do it. Or if there was a movie or TV show that needed a long-haired stoner guy, I could play that.
Right.
Like, yeah, man, come on, let's go. I've got tickets to see Rush. You know, or something like that.
All right.
Jamie had a follow-up question. He said, if you were to become one of the richest, most successful actors of all time, would you continue the grind of slapping the bass with your longtime bandmates? I guess kind of like Keanu did. Oh, yeah. I mean, if I got really rich, that's probably all I would do. I'd have a studio built in my house, and I'd just record albums, and I'd put them out on my own label, and the rest of the time, I'd just do my art and not have to worry about selling it, and possibly just disappear from all social media.
Oh, yes!
All right, the next message I got was from Michi in Austria, and Michi is a Galactic Cowboys fan, and he listens to my podcast. And apparently he likes my music reviews and doesn't mind my political views. And he has kind of combined the two and given me one of the most interesting questions I think I've ever gotten. In fact, it kind of took me a while to kind of understand what he was saying. But bear with me. He says, let's compare politics to a music album. The genre is liberal or conservative. The band is Democrat or Republican. The frontman would be Biden, Harris, or Trump. The album is the party in general. And the songs are specific topics and agendas. So, for example, if the album is Republican, the songs would be ICE, tariffs, taxes, and foreign policies. And so how would I review that album? Okay, Michi, well, let me take a stab at this. I would say that the Republicans have a good front man. That's just me. I know Trump occasionally sings things that I wish he wouldn't, and maybe he's going to hit an off note every now and then. But overall, I like him. He's like a punk rocker, Johnny Rotten, that doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. As far as the songs on the album, well, I like that song called ICE. They're out there trying to get criminals off the street and getting people out that need to be out. Now, I'm not crazy about the recent song called War. However, that song called Lindsey Graham, I cannot stand. Now, as far as the Democrat album, oh, let's get into that. I'll go back to the one they put out in, what, 2020? That album sucked. Their front man acted like he didn't know where he was most of the time and couldn't even find his way around the stage. And yet he somehow managed to put out songs like Everyone Must Be Vaccinated. And that other song with that hellaciously long title, Don't Go Outside, Close All the Businesses, and if you take the jab and your good little boys and girls, I'll let you have a barbecue in the backyard of your house on the 4th of July. I hated that song.
Isn't that insane?
Since then, that band has continued to put out horrible song after horrible song. And it amazes me that anyone continues to listen to songs like Trump is a Nazi, Men Can Have Babies, Open the Borders, and Let's Elect a Communist for Mayor. I mean, I guess they call that progressive, but I call it trash. And I'm giving the liberals a 0 out of 5 bloody metal skulls.
Brutal.
All right, thanks for that question, Michi. Let's move on now to some what's on TV. And let's start out with some documentaries. I watched one on Paul McCartney. I think it was called Man on the Run, but it was about the time period where he had just quit the Beatles and he started his own career solo-wise. And it went through all the struggles he had and it talked about, you know, the Wings period of his career. And I am just always impressed with Paul McCartney. Every time I see anything on him, I'm just impressed. He's just one of those musical geniuses who is also very classy. And the thing you gotta ask yourself is, how would any of us handle it if we were one of the most famous people on earth? You probably couldn't go outside without getting mobbed. And everyone would have an incredibly high expectations for everything you did. And what Paul McCartney did after he quit the Beatles was he went to a farm and just lived there with Linda and a bunch of goats. And after a while he said, you know, I think I'll start writing some songs. And then he was like, hey, I think I'll put a band together. And when it comes to Paul McCartney and music, he just doesn't really ever do a whole lot that's wrong. And over the course of this movie, they'd be playing all the songs that he'd written. And you're just reminded what an amazing songwriter the guy is. And to me, a lot of his solo stuff, especially with Wings, stood up to a lot of that Beatles stuff. And so I definitely recommend that you check out the Paul McCartney doc, who's well worth the watch. Another one that I thought was pretty good was a documentary about Chevy Chase. And I liked Chevy Chase when he was on Saturday Night Live. I loved him in Caddyshack. But over the years, I'd heard he was kind of a jerk. And I wasn't sure how he was going to come off in this movie. And at first, some of the recent interviews with him, I thought, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to find out. Yeah, he is a jerk. But the more of it I watched, I thought, no, I think maybe he's kind of misunderstood. I think he's been through some tough times. And so who really knows? But I made it through the whole thing and I thought it was pretty good. I always find it fascinating where these people come from, how they work their way up to the top, and how after they get to the top, they all come crashing down. And to be honest, I don't always feel sorry for them because let's face it, Hollywood is a cesspool of shit. And there's no better example than the Oscars, which I actually did not watch. But I did watch the highlights, or the lowlights. I mean, I used to watch the Oscars. It was a big deal, but not now. I mean, I don't think you could pay me to sit through that thing. Number one, I never go to the theater anymore, so I haven't even seen any of these movies. Number two, most of the movies that come out today are kind of politically driven by some agenda that I don't like. And three, I just pretty much hate celebrities. Hollywood actors have become kind of like the modern day professional athletes. They might be talented, but they're just unlikable. And they all think they need to shoot their mouths off for a cause, even if they don't know what they're talking about. Like, we need to call for a ceasefire and, huh? Oh, there was? Oh, when? A year ago? Oh.
Morons!
You know, why can't all celebrities just be more like Gary Busey? I knew he had a motorcycle accident years ago that probably damaged his brain. But these days, if you ask him a question, he's just gonna go, I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about buttered sausage and what it does to your endocrine system. I don't like buttered sausage, but I do like buttered sausage.
Huh?
But enough talk about celebrities for now. Let's talk about people who want to be celebrities and will do anything to be one. And of course, I'm talking about reality TV. Even though I think I've come to the conclusion that there's really nothing real about reality TV. And yet I still can't help myself. I still have to watch it. I guess it's a guilty pleasure. Even though most of the time it's not pleasurable at all. But I will say that this season of Survivor has actually been pretty good. It's season 50, and yes, I'm really embarrassed to say I have watched every single season of Survivor.
You're pathetic!
But what they did this time was bring back all the all-stars from all of the past seasons. And for me, that's been kind of fun. However, a reality series that was not fun to watch was a show I swore I was done with it and I'd never watch it again, but I did. Alex and I once again sat through Love is Blind on Netflix. And I really can't hardly explain to you how much I despise this show, but I'm gonna try. Because if for no other reason, I need to warn people not to watch this garbage. I feel it's almost kind of my duty as a friend and a good citizen. And if you've never seen or heard about this show, well, let me kind of try and explain. And I'll start by telling you that this was season number 10. So it's been around for a while. And yet Netflix keeps making this trash, which might tell you that they are soulless. Either that or they are actually trying to bring on the downfall of civilization. It's kind of like how MTV tried to ruin music and young people at the same time. Well, in this case, Netflix is trying to take a big dump on the institution of marriage. And here's how it works. The producers of Love is Blind get together a bunch of 20 to 30 year olds, and they all have the same thing in common. They've all been complete losers in love up to this point, and they're totally desperate to find somebody to marry. And one by one, they will individually go into these rooms called pods, and they will talk through the wall to the person on the other side. So they can't see each other at all, they just talk. And this is where it really gets sickening. Even though they have no idea what the person on the other side of the wall looks like, they begin talking themselves into believing that they are falling madly in love with the other person. And within a few days, the guy will get down on one knee and propose to the woman he's never seen before. And there you go, love is blind. It's all so perfect, right? Well, they finally meet each other in person and they look at each other and they're just like, oh yes, you're perfect, I love you. You're my person, you're the love of my life. And of course, me as the viewer, I've been sitting there watching this from the time they were in the pod saying, no, this will never work. I mean, I can see it, but apparently they have no idea this is all gonna go bad. But they're engaged now, so there's nothing else to do now except go to Cancun for a vacation for about 4 or 5 days. And my suspicions are that this is why these people do this to begin with. It's for the free vacation. And it's also because they just want to be on TV.
Aha!
And let's face it, that's basically what life has become for most people in the year 2026. You're born, and when you're about 3 years old, your parents either hand you a computer or an iPhone. And then for the rest of your life, you're basically performing. You're either on YouTube or TikTok or somewhere spouting off your mouth, telling people what to think, and you're basically acting. And that's what the people on Love is Blind are doing. The premise is that we're trying to get to know each other, we're falling in love, and we're going to get married. But that's actually pretty hard to do when there are cameras there filming and videoing everything you say and do. And of course, it only takes a few days before everything starts to unravel. And this is the only part of this show that I actually like. Because I get all kinds of enjoyment seeing these idiots discover that, oh, the other person isn't perfect. In fact, I don't really like them at all. And I'm suddenly not physically attracted to them. And I don't think I want to be with them for the rest of my life. And the women start crying, and even the men start crying sometimes, and that's when I start smiling. Because you a-holes deserve every bit of that. You signed up for this because you didn't want to wait for the right person to come along in real life. Instead, you wanted to go on TV, roll the dice, and then possibly get your heart broken. Well, guess what? You did.
So go have fun, and best wishes in hell.
All right, moving along, I've got a question here from Dan Singleton on Facebook. And I actually saw Dan a year ago this week because the Galactic Cowboys were in the studio doing vocals. And at the end of the week, as part of the Kickstarter campaign, he was one of the people that got to come to the studio and watch us record. And at that time, we thought, okay, well, here in a couple of months, we're going to have this thing mixed and mastered. And it'll be out by the summer. Well, as you know, that did not happen. And we are very sorry about that, but we ran into some problems. And it just got pushed back and pushed back. Kind of like the same thing happened to Galactic Cowboys back in 1990. We had the whole thing done, and then we had to wait a year while Guns N' Roses finished their album before we could put ours out. And so these things happen. And I'll be honest, I did not realize how expensive it had gotten to manufacture vinyl and CDs these days. And when it came time to do that, we went, $8,000? And so without a record company, that put us into a little bit of a dilemma. But with some help from a lot of you guys out there, we're approaching the solution. And I'm happy to report that the CDs and the vinyl should be getting pressed up as we speak. However, it does take the manufacturing places weeks to do that. So be patient with us just a little bit longer, and we should have some good news soon.
It's about time!
Now back to Dan Singleton's question. He says, hey Monty, I'd love to hear your thoughts on William Shatner's upcoming heavy metal album. P.S. His spoken word rendition of Elton John's Rocket Man is hilarious. Well, thanks for the suggestion, Dan. Yeah, I remember him doing Rocket Man. I think it was on a TV show. And I found it on YouTube, and it was in black and white, so it must have been years and years ago. And yeah, he basically just talks his way through it.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me back again to find I'm not the man they think I am back home. Oh, no, 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 I'm a rocket man.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And you know, the funny thing about the video is that he's sitting there smoking a cigarette through the entire thing. So that ought to tell you how long ago that was. But I was unaware that he was working on a new heavy metal album. And I don't know if the whole thing is out yet, but all I could find was this song he did with Zakk Wylde. They did a cover of Iron Man by Black Sabbath, and here's a little bit of it right now.
I am Iron Man. We'll be right back.
Well, before I ever knew that Zach Wilde was playing on this, I knew immediately that was Zach Wilde on guitar. But as far as Shatner, I guess it's hard to criticize him because he knows what he's doing. It's a shtick, and you know, he knows it's funny. All right, as long as we're doing a little Uncle Monty's Listening Corner, I thought I'd play you something that I ran onto a couple of weeks ago. They're a band called White Reaper, and I have heard of them for several years, but never really dug into one of their albums. And I found this new release they had just put out recently called Only Slightly Expanded, and I just instantly became a big fan. I've been trying to figure out who they remind me of, and the best I can come up with is a band called Diffuser. If you've been listening to me for a long time, then you probably remember me playing them. And I'm just a sucker for power pop bands. You don't have to be super heavy for me to like you, you just gotta write some great songs, and this band does, White Reaper. I've seen some live stuff of these guys on YouTube, and they can really play. And more than anything, maybe it's just me, but I love this guy's voice. So there you go, some White Reaper. And I'm gonna give this album a solid 4 out of 5 bloody metal skulls. Alright, let's wrap things up with some odds and ends. And I start out with some very sad news to report that my favorite musician of all time, Ginger Wildheart, has been diagnosed with cancer. And apparently it's something that's incurable, and Ginger has made a statement that he's not going to fight it. He feels like he's lived a good life and done everything that he's wanted to do. And in his words, he's just going to die with dignity. And of course, it was just really hard for me to hear all of this because I've been a fan of his for over 30 years now. And I've talked about him on this podcast and to friends and anyone that would listen. And I know I've turned a lot of you guys out there listening right now onto the Wild Hearts and to all of his solo stuff. And Ginger is just one of the most incredible songwriters, musicians that I've ever heard. And I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, and he was just a great guy. And it's just another one of those things I just don't understand. It's like, why are the great ones, you know, a lot of times taken from us? But, you know, I guess only God knows. But Ginger's been a great inspiration to me, a great influence on my music. And in some ways, I could relate to him. because he was one of those artists who put out great stuff but just never seemed to get the recognition that he totally deserved. And he certainly never got the financial rewards that he should have. But he just continued to produce great stuff and put out amazing albums. And that will lead me to my next topic, which is I watched a Rick Beato episode on YouTube the other day. And it was titled The Cruelty of the Music Business. And he was talking about this band that he discovered years ago, and he started working with them. And they quickly got this big industry buzz around them. And before you know it, there was about 7 different labels that all wanted to sign them. And I started thinking, okay, well, this sounds familiar. And one of those people was Gary Gersh, who was the guy that signed Us and then Nirvana. And that's when I said, okay, well, this sounds very familiar. Well, it wasn't Us, it was a band with a female singer. And they eventually signed a deal with RCA. And Beato said, and that's when everything started to go haywire. Because the label had an A&R guy that got involved and started wanting to tell them what to do. And to make a long story short, they put out an album that the band hated, and they eventually broke up. But recently they got back together, made a new album, and it sounds really cool. It's got cellos and all this kind of stuff on it. And I don't remember the name of the band. I'll have to go back to that video and check that out again. But all that to say that, you know, these things happen. The music business, for the most part, is kind of evil. And back in the day, it wasn't just us. All kinds of bands got screwed. But if you really love the music, hang in there and keep doing it. Because it's not all about wealth and fame. If you're doing it for the right reasons, it's for the music, it's for the art. Now, the last thing I want to talk about are the No Kings rallies that just took place over the past weekend. And before you stop listening and think, oh, he's just going to say the same negative crap, well, no, I actually have something positive to say. And this may surprise you, but I thought the No Kings rally was great. Of course, I did not go, but I saw all of it on TV. And I just want to thank all those people who went out into the streets, dressed up like frogs, and held up signs. Because what you did truly made a difference. Because when I woke up the next day, to my amazement, there were no kings in the United States. Now, how do I know this? Because all those people that were marching with communist flags and calling Trump these horrible names and saying he should be arrested, not one of them was taken away and murdered like they would have been had there been, say, a king or a dictator. So thank God for the No Kings rallies. We as American citizens can once again live free. And we don't have to live in fear that our businesses are going to get shut down or that the government is going to force us to take a vaccine. Because really, there's nothing worse than people in office filling us with fear and telling us what we can and cannot do. Now, I could play out with one last hideous song by Bruce Springsteen. You may have heard it. It's called The Streets of Minneapolis. But of course, I'm not going to do that to you. Instead, I will play you a sampling off the new Galactic Cowboys album. And it's a little ditty called Super Spreader. Enjoy. We'll be right back. Don't forget to go to my website, MontyColvinArt.com, and pick yourself up a painting or a print. It would really help Alex and I out a lot. But that's going to do it for this fun and mayhem. I'll be back soon. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like. Well, of course, unless it's me. And
rock on!
And...